Hello, everyone, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. I'm Joey Groh, today with Heather Antos, and we are talking about Kickstarter. Heather recently had her own micro course at comicsexperience.com where you talked for 45 minutes and then took questions about about Kickstarter. And by all accounts, it was a great time. And I know we've talked in previous episodes, and if folks are just listening to this one and maybe haven't heard you before, Kickstarter was a big part of how you advanced in your comics career. So your background with them led to Marvel, led to where you are now, and I imagine being able to help other people out has got to be a great feeling. And for you, I don't know that we talked about it, and I'm kind of throwing this out now. Did you have to do a lot of kind of R&D on your own, or did you go into this with some Kickstarter background?
When I did my first campaign, the book that got me my job at Marvel, like I had no background in it. Like I'd only contributed to other crowdfunding platforms and projects before, but I'd never done my own. So I actually spent like months of time doing research in order to learn as much as I could about successful campaigns, unsuccessful campaigns, and to try and build the best campaign that I could for my product. And and it turned out to be successful. So much so that like Kickstarter started to invite me to speak on their behalf for doing comic stuff. And, I guess the rest is history.
That's fantastic. I'm sure, it is one of those things. Once you go through it, you realize like hitting go, you go, oh, there's a dashboard. Look at all this information I get. Oh, I could have. It's so much informing. Like once you're actually in the moment, no matter how much prep you do, I guess it all, at least for me with a couple I've done, it feels like I've learned so much on the fly of, oh, this is what I should have thought about and didn't do. But that's, getting in with Kickstarter to talk to them and give them your opinion, I mean, that had to be just great for your, next go-round and deepening your understanding. When we were talking about Kickstarter as a topic, you threw back maybe starting with why Kickstarter as the first point. And I think with Indiegogo's the other big platform that I think of. I don't know for you if there's a couple, but I always tend to think Indiegogo and Kickstarter are kind of the crowdfunding platforms for, original creator-owned stuff. Three projects I've done on Kickstarter, two successful, one not successful, and I would still keep doing stuff, I think, on Kickstarter versus Indiegogo, despite, not having the experience there from a comic standpoint. It did seem to just make sense to me and what I saw, but I'm curious as to your opinion on the why.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first and foremost, Kickstarter is the creator's first platform. They are all about just purely promoting creators in the creative community. And whereas Indiegogo, you can run personal campaigns, you can do charity stuff, small business stuff. So their audience is a little bit wider, whereas Kickstarter is purely for, creators for creators. And so I think that builds a much wider community of people who are looking for creative projects, are going to come to Kickstarter to find something unique. There are people that come to Kickstarter solely to look for comics projects, or new games or new technologies or whatever. And so that in and of itself purely is just my first and foremost why Kickstarter. But when you get down to even the technical stuff, Kickstarter has 27 million unique monthly visitors as opposed to Indiegogo only has 9 million. 27 million unique monthly visitors.
Good night. I had no idea it was that large. Sorry to interrupt your flow.
Yeah. So it's they have a huge, huge, huge wide network. Nothing else comes close to that. The one thing I also really like about Kickstarter is it's all or nothing. If your campaign is unsuccessful, then no one is charged anything, and users aren't charged. Backers aren't charged until the end of the campaign once they know it's successful. Whereas Indiegogo, the money is taken out of your customer's pocket right away, even if the campaign isn't successful. And then the other thing with Kickstarter too that I really like is every single project has to be approved by Kickstarter staff. So you can't go live without someone at Kickstarter reviewing your project, making sure it passes all of their terms and conditions and rules and everything, before going live. And this also will include, you know, having experts, at Kickstarter like myself, who will review your project if you like and give you feedback and advice before you go live, to maybe point out some areas where you might have, you know, fallen short. We think you could do better, word things a little differently, et cetera, et cetera. So like, I just think Kickstarter just offers an overall better package, for creatives in particular. And Kickstarter really puts in the effort, to show that they want your project to be successful.
And I think I may have had that light bulb moment the last campaign I ran. I got to know somebody that was the comics community person who's no longer there at a New York Comic Con panel, and realizing exactly what you said. They'll give advice, they'll give you feedback because they want to see your success, was a huge revelation of, oh, I get it. You really do want me to succeed. Not that I, you know, thought that they didn't, but really having that motivation to kick in on my side to go, oh, not that it's a, you know, 100% partnership, air quotes partnership, but this is, they want projects to be funded, and they want to give you as much of that upfront as they can to help out. And, you know, I just didn't realize that. It felt a lot more in a vacuum. Not that they were, you know, going out of their way holding hands, but just, hey, you got questions, let me know. And I could think about all my questions ahead of time, send it in one email with a link, and then get a response back. Was huge.
Yeah. 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 I mean, like, why wouldn't they want you to succeed, right? It's their platform. It's their livelihood too. If you don't succeed, their company doesn't succeed.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And they're all experts in what they do and are very well connected in the different communities. And, it's just such a great company, great platform, putting creators first and helping creators, you know, boost their projects and get their word out there. And then the other cool thing that Kickstarter is doing now, they're in beta for it. It's a platform called Drip, which is a lot like Patreon. It's a platform for creators where, you know, fans can go to support a specific creator, as opposed to a specific project. So if you are a creator that has a Drip and then you're running a project on Kickstarter, you know, you can direct your supporters directly over to that project. They don't need to make a new account to support you. You know, it's all interconnected within the same platform, which is really, really cool. And I'm excited to see what happens with that once it goes full live into alpha mode.
Yeah, I'm super curious about that. I have a few friends and acquaintances who primarily have just published work through Kickstarter, and I know that a couple of them have gotten original graphic novel deals out of it, as well as doing some other work for hire. But, you know, primarily that's what they do, and I think that's where they want to be. And it's super interesting that you could support them in a different way, as well as obviously buying their books and supporting the campaigns when they come out. Interesting. Well, that's the why. Why Kickstarter? So if you're an independent creator or creators and you're looking to get your comic out to a wider audience and to have, you know, this was actually, I'm curious your take on this too, maybe before we get into the rest of your thoughts. From a philosophical standpoint, you know, is Kickstarter, am I supporting a creator or am I not buying inventory? Am I able to buy the artifact? You know, am I able to buy the thing? I don't know. Maybe I'm wording this wrong, but that when we did, my company produced a documentary a few years ago that we released via Kickstarter and then took to multiple digital platforms. So the Kickstarter was kind of our proof of concept, but we wanted to get the physical copy out in the world and get the documentary out. And that was a debate that we had, you know, internally was, no, we're giving people the asset. They're getting this cool thing and this cool poster and this cool this. And no, they're supporting art. They're supporting independent creators. That's like, it was the first and foremost. I don't know if that's a conversation that you've had to engage in, but we talked through that for a while.
Oh yeah, no, that's a great point. And that's, you know, I think it depends on the project. I think when it comes to things like documentaries or books or illustration or comics, the angle is definitely more so for supporting the creators and the people behind it. I think when you get into some of the more like technological stuff that they do on there, it becomes a little bit more product focused, or like the board games sometimes are a little bit more product focused, especially when you're doing the IP board games, like Assassin's Creed is funding their board game via Kickstarter. So like, you know, like people are going for Assassin's Creed. They're not going for the people making the board game.
Right.
But that brings into a good point of, you know, when, especially if you don't already have a massive following on your own, like that video that you make for your project is so important to have you be a part of it. Because you know, they're supporting you, they're supporting your dream, they're helping make your dream a reality. And, you know, people get warm fuzzies doing that. People feel good about helping other people, you know, achieve what they want to, because we all want someone to help us do the same thing.
Right.
And I think it's really cool getting to see and hear the personal stories of the people behind the project and the why, you know, the why they're doing this, and the fact that they're doing this, you know, not as their day job, they're doing it as their passion project, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's a very important thing to remember. It's kind of like when I talk to people at Comic Cons and you see artists with just their heads down, not interacting with fans. Like talk to them, like people, you know, people want to support you. They're not just here for your art, and you're more likely to get a sale having that interpersonal interaction, than you would be if you're just saying, here, look what I did. So yeah, they're definitely out there supporting a creator. And that's definitely something to keep in mind when you market.
I wonder if part of that too is, and I've had this problem in the past, it's kind of hard to not, I don't know that it's vulnerable, but it's hard to be somewhat super transparent, I think, at least for me, on social media, in the sense of, hey, this is the thing I've been working on for the last 3 or 4 years. I really want it to be successful. Please help me, you know, make it a reality is something that I have a hard time articulating. I wonder if that's part of it too, since, you know, a lot of times I think creative types can want to be a little more introverted, head down. And I think it's a learned, at least for me, it's been a learned behavior on how to get it out into the world and say, no, really, this is the, you know, the whys and wherefores. And I feel like, you know, once I started to get that kind of, just go in knowing that I needed to do what you're saying as far as how to interact, the first couple of times somebody said, I really liked your story. That was a stranger that didn't have any investment in me, that we weren't friends going into the situation, was, oh, great, I made it relatable and they could support it, because exactly what you said, they want to cheer for you, they want to, you know, help try to move that ball the same way they want it to be helped by somebody that also wants to support them.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. And I think I don't know, like in I guess American culture, and it could be just some international culture too, like we're kind of shamed for asking for help. And, like, I think that's bullshit. Like, just to like put that out there, like this is what this platform is for, you know? And it's a hustle. It's marketing. Like it's a business. You got to run it like a business and treat it like a business. And, you know, businesses are out there marketing, hey, buy our products, give us money. So why can't you do that too?
Right. And I think a lot of it, too, boils down a little bit into your outreach, at least for me, was thinking about the things that are shareable. You know, the way, why would somebody want to share this? Well, they might want to share it because, you know, it's you share a personal story about what went into the creation of it. You know, you share the background with your getting together with your creative team or why you're doing it, or hey, we share a love of the same kind of music, and there's making my Metal Shark Fighter comic. You know, whatever the things are that comes together to make your comic, the more you can put that out there, and the more people can go, hey, look, this guy's doing it this way. I love this thing too, and have that ability to kind of already build in the, oh, I get it. Like you said, you know, people are out marketing their product. Well, why should I buy it? Oh, let me think about why they should buy it. I need to tell them and give them ways that they can tell others why they're excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. The marketing, it's important. It's super important. And you can do really cool things with the marketing depending on what your project is too, which I think is cool and unique to Kickstarter.
What other things do you think people don't think of or might not learn until their, you know, their campaign wraps up?
One of the big things that I always advise people on doing is don't guess what your goal amount should be. Make sure you know for a fact the actual, like, pick your printer before you run your campaign. That, you know, pick your printer, pick your paper type, pick your, you know, your cover weight, your, you know, gloss, everything. Like, have that picked out. Do an estimate of how many books you think minimum you will be printing. You know, that way you have an actual quote of what you need to print the damn thing. You know, any actual math and numbers that you will need to create any of the ancillary rewards, be it stickers, pins, prints, whatever. Don't forget to take into account shipping costs, especially international shipping costs.
Oh boy.
Because that's where a lot of people forget. Like, shipping to Australia is expensive.
Right.
And, you know, you can work that into your campaign where the backer ends up paying the shipping cost, and that's included in. And that's one way to go about it if you want. But I always would say make a prototype package of what you think the most popular package is going to be. You know, and make a prototype, find a book about the same weight, find a print about the same size, like, package it up, put it in a box, take it to your post office, have them weigh it and tell you how much it would cost to ship that.
Yeah.
That way you can actually do the math and come up with as close to a legitimate number that you would need. Because, like, it's cool. I think, you know, a lot of people think, like, oh, it's cool, I'm going to have this, like, awkward-shaped book plate or this action figure or whatever. But then, like, they forget, like, you have to ship this. Like,
oh,
you have
gosh.
To, you know, and if it doesn't fit in a normal envelope or box and it has to be an awkward thing, like, that will really affect your shipping rates. And that just shoots the prices up higher and higher and higher. So that's definitely something I always advise. Make sure you know ahead of time. Because if you screw up that budget, if you screw up that goal, you're in big doo-doo.
Yeah. And shipping especially. That seems to be the one that I see people commenting on was, I didn't account for international shipping. I should have done that differently. But like you said, the physical act of putting it all together in a box, in an envelope, in a whatever, makes all the difference in the world where you go, mm-hmm. The prints I was going to offer are too big. They're not going to fit in here. I need to make a smaller print size to fit in the same envelope, or I need a bigger envelope because I want to do awesome prints or whatever. Just the physical act of putting it all together is huge.
Huge. It really doesn't take that much time. And, like, the post office is happy to tell you, you know, like, oh, yeah, this is how much it would cost. And, like, great. Like, now that's knowledge that you have. I think the other thing to be realistic on with your goal is, you know, if you are someone that doesn't have a strong social media following and you're asking for $10,000 and say you only have 10 followers, chances are you're not going to get each person to pledge $1,000 each. So that's why I, you know, when I was doing my project, Unlawful Good, I had, I think, roughly 45 creators involved with that. And I did the math where, I can't remember what our actual goal was, but I did the math whereas if every person involved with the project could get six people to just buy the book, we would hit our goal. And like, that's reasonable.
Yeah, that is, that's great.
Everyone knows six people, like, you know, and if the book is only costing, like $25, which is a reasonable price for a book, then there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to hit our goal. And so like, I think, when you're thinking budget, breaking it down that way too, like think about how many people are involved with your project. What's the most common reward that people are going to be getting? Normally that's around the $20 to $30 price range is the one that is most common. So that's where I always tell people, like, this is your prototype. This is what you're actually marketing. Everything else is ancillary.
Interesting.
So, you know, what's your minimum you need of that reward level in order to hit your goal? I also always encourage people to think digitally when it comes to rewards, because digital rewards don't cost you anything. So whether it be creating a wallpaper or a cell phone wallpaper or, you know, like a special video from the team thanking you, or like a, you know, a scripted podcast that takes place in the world of your story, or, you know, like something like that. It's still going to take time on your part to create this, but it's, you don't have to ship it, you know,
right.
you don't have to pay to produce it. You don't, you know, like it's for you, it's a free reward that they're still donating, and backing your project for, And other fun things too that I found, because I think everyone thinks of, oh, I'll do the book and then I'll do a t-shirt and then I'll do, you know, a variant cover and then I'll do a hardcover version. And then, you know, like everyone has the staple checkmark boxes, but like think about what makes your project unique.
Yeah.
I currently just wrapped a Kickstarter project that I'm working on. It's a, like a fairy tale, like a once upon a time style type story meets fables, where it's this town that has this like fantasy history. And one of the, part of what this team did, Connor Hughes and Charlie Stickney, to like help really bring the world to the fans is, at the different reward levels, you could get postcards from the town that the story takes place in, or you could get a coaster from the diner that they visit in the town, or, you know, stuff like that, that, you know, like this is a very unique reward, for this project that helps bring this world into your world, which is really cool. And so I always encourage, like, what makes your project unique, that can and be special, that will offer incentives that no other project out there can offer.
And, you know, Kickstarter is one of those things too, that you're likely not just going to one week go, I'm going to do a Kickstarter, and then the next week launch your Kickstarter. It's such a, you know, longer process, like any kind of creation. So a lot of what you're talking about is kind of that great grist for the mill of putting it all together from the get-go. So from, you know, those are great points to think about as you go through your project and it's set in a fantasy world. What could be the cool thing that could be part of my rewards that I'm offering people that are backing my campaign? It's not something that's going to be necessarily sprung on you at the last minute. You can kind of, as you go and build your spreadsheet and put everything together, think about those other elements, which to me makes it even more fun, because, you know, not that having a comic released, you know, with a publisher is ever going to be a bad thing. But from that standpoint, you're likely not going to have that much control over, hey, we're also going to make this cool promo item. You know, they're not going to offer you those cool postcards that do more world building. So you get to experience kind of the 360 publisher, marketing, here's some cool stuff that is just going to go and make people who get this even more excited because I'm able to enhance it because it fits the budget.
Yeah, and I think another thing too to keep in mind is I think a lot of people push go on their Kickstarter and then start marketing. They don't think about marketing beforehand. The week before, or like 2 weeks before my campaign launched, I sent out about 100 personal messages and press releases to comics journalists, websites, podcasts, newspapers, local media around the world, and was just saying, like, this is a thing that I'm doing, would love to, you know, talk about it if you would be interested. That way I can set up some stuff in advance. That way, you know, hopefully I can have some things live the week the campaign actually launches and then schedule other things to be going live throughout the 30 days the campaign is going. Whereas if you just start that promotion the day the campaign launches, you've lost time already. You've lost a lot of time. And so as much, you know, I always say like more work goes into building a strong Kickstarter than happens during the actual promotion of the campaign or even the fulfillment stage of it. The most successful campaigns, you know, put a lot of work leading into it that you just don't see.
Right.
But it makes all the difference.
Absolutely. That's a great way to make that point. It is so much up front. And one thing that folks who haven't run a Kickstarter might not know, when you do your Kickstarter, you actually get to see information about where your pledges are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that inbound somebody clicked through the story that you had at a comics website or through your Twitter or Facebook or et cetera. So you do gain insight for that. But I think, you know, to your greater point of getting it out there, so I'm shocked. I was shocked by how much just came from, like you talked about on Kickstarter as the platform, where people may not have, maybe they clicked through a link they saw somewhere, but maybe they were just browsing comics projects. And that, mm-hmm. that to me was, oh, you really need to think about, not that I wasn't, but you entirely, you really need to think about the Kickstarter page and the Kickstarter campaign as like its own entity that people don't know you from social media or
right.
didn't read it on a news site. Be comprehensive there. Be, you know, show the personality of the project or your personality there too. Make sure that comes across as well as, hey, you've been following me on Twitter for years. Check out my this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, yeah, you have to build it so it's friendly to the casual viewer. Especially if Kickstarter, if you're so lucky to be selected as one of Kickstarter's picks to be on the front page, like, you know, that's a big deal. And then you want people, you know, complete strangers to click through from there. So, it has to be as like, you know, marketable to anyone as possible. And so I think that's really important too in choosing how to market your product, especially if you're doing a niche thing, like you have to be really creative in how you're marketing it. Yeah.
Well, with all this information, is there, I know your micro course went up. Is there anything, aside from, of course, following Heather on Twitter at Heather Antos, any other resources you'd recommend on the Kickstarter site? Like Kickstarter.com, I'm sure has plenty of info. Anything that you usually point folks towards as far as other ways they might check out what Kickstarter has to offer itself?
I mean, yeah, I always say go direct to the source. They have a lot of information on their blogs there, as well as the different experts. I myself do offer Kickstarter consulting services, which you can reach out for via my website, heatherantos.com. So I'm always happy to talk Kickstarter and brainstorm and help you build your best campaign possible. And as I was telling Joey before we started recording, like I could talk about Kickstarter all day long. It's like I know too much and I have so much knowledge to share with the world. So, yeah.
I could keep talking about it because I do find it fascinating, even when I'm not looking to do one, just learning more about it because it's such mm-hmm. it's such an empowering platform for creator-owned stuff. And you know, it's always that thing where you look back 5 years and go, what wasn't here? What's here before? And so ubiquitous. But Kickstarter just as a concept, you know, a couple of years ago, there wasn't this other way you could get work out into the world and, you know, build it into to part of your career plan. And if you're an independent, you know, web cartoonist, or if you're trying to get some comics out and get, you know, you're not looking to be full-time comics. Maybe you're just looking to put out a book a year or collect your web comic. It's such a game changer in so many ways that's super positive. So I love hearing about it, especially from somebody that's had your success with it. I do want to mention over at comicsexperience.com, they have listed the winter courses that are coming up, and those include Screenwriting 101, Comic Storytelling 101, Introduction to Comic Art, and Production 101, Introduction to Lettering Comics, as well as Comics Coloring 101, which is Introduction to Comic Book Coloring, and then rounding it out is Comics Writing 101, which is an introduction to writing comics. So if you...
Who knew?
If you needed to get some comics going, that's a number of great classes you can check out, as well as really great folks teaching those classes that are all part of Comics Experience. And if you're just tuning in to the podcast, there's a bunch of past episodes you can go find on comicsexperience.com as well. And if you have questions, email info@comicsexperience.com. We will happily talk about it here, as well as tweet @comicexperience on Twitter. And like Heather mentioned, she's Heather Antos, @HeatherAntos on Twitter, and she's heatherantos.com for any more Kickstarter info. So I think Heather is 100% funded. I think I'm only about 25% funded. So I'm going to go work on that. So until next time, keep making comics.